Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I don't like it. I've never liked, you know, it's the laziness of the national media. So anyhow, what J.D. Vance did ask at, well, what they said he asked was, why don't you have any Swiss cheese?
No.
Yes. But that's not what he said. See, here we go again with the Inquirer.
It's very Ohio if he did ask that.
Well, what he did, he was being polite. He says, why is it insulting to put Swiss on a cheesesteak here? That's what he said. So he was being curious versus, well, why don't you have any Swiss, indicates he was going to put Swiss on it.
Yeah, but still, I feel like if he's asking about it, it might be because he might want it.
No, I thought he was just, he wanted to know why is it insulting. He didn't want to insult anyone. I don't know if he's going to put on it.
You know, I have seen a great cheesesteak that's topped with mushrooms and then Swiss. So it's like a mushroom Swiss. It's delicious.
Yeah, but that's not the standard. You know, you got if you're going to do the tourist thing, you got to do the standard thing here.
At least you didn't get a hoagie, right?
So, and put on top of it. Yeah, I don't know.
Special.
I don't know why he wasn't given a, you know, we can help the Trump campaign when they come through Philadelphia of some knowledge. But here, even on this, the Inquirer has to issue a clarification tweet saying what he really asked was, why is it insulting to put Swiss on the cheesesteak? Which is not as bad as, hey, why don't you have any Swiss? I want to put it on my cheesesteak. That would have been on the front pages. Yokel from Ohio put Swiss on his cheesesteak.
I just love that the Inquirer knows it's that important that they have to get the fact check out there. That's how much we value our cheesesteaks.
I think some people were angry and said, did he really say that? No. All right. Joe Biden doesn't speak last night to 11:28. They have to cut James Taylor, but we still have a pair of tickets again today and all this week to see James Taylor at the Mann Center in Philadelphia on August 30th. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. That'll be for Dom's Money Melody at 2:13 today. That's a big prize. But imagine a sitting president of the United States, even if it's Joe Biden, being pushed back to 11:28 to start. This is how little regard they have for him. And I have, you know, since this is the last big moment, I have no regard for this guy. I just have no sense. How this guy got to be president tells you that random things happen. Here's what he did last night, Dan. This will be cut 19C. He still said this because he has always been a hack. It's not just that he's a hack now because he's mentally challenged. He's always been a hack, regurgitating Deere and Kevlar. You know, these things that he just throws out because he's got nothing else. Here's what he said last night to raucous applause about the Very Fine People hoax.
They didn't even bother to wear their hoods. Hate was on the march in America. Old ghosts and new garments. Stirring up the oldest divisions. Stoking the oldest fears. Giving oxygen to the oldest forces that they long sought to tear apart America. In the process, a young woman was killed. When I contacted her mother, I asked about what happened. She told me. When the president was asked what he thought had happened, Donald Trump said, and I quote, "There are very fine people on both sides. My God." That's what he said. That is what he said and what he meant. That's when I realized, had listened to the admonition of my dead son, I could not stay in the sidelines.
All right, let's stop it right there. Man. Let's stop it right there with this all-time hack. Now, that is Joe Biden at his essence, this hack. In one sentence, he says this tired-out thing. By the way, don't think I didn't notice. You don't have to call. When did he ever call people killed by people that are here illegally? When did he ever call their parents or go to the funerals of cops, etc.? Oh, but on this one, he had to. Had to call the mom up on this one. In one sentence, he puts the hoax in that even Snopes has put out there how tired this is, the context in which Trump said this, what the clear meaning was of hundreds of words surrounding it, and also an admonition, I'm not talking about supremacists, by Trump. Still, it gets trotted out. Still, he goes there. It is, even for Biden, this is at his worst. And then, of course, what does he throw in there? Bo Biden. Always going to Bo Biden here as his shield for all of his nonsense. I don't know if there's been a bigger hack as a political figure with less talent than Biden. But it shows you that accidents can happen. He can become president. Here's a little bit more, though, of the part that you would hope that people would ask more Democrats about this. Biden talking about the protesters, the mob outside. Here's what he said about the protesters.
Those protesters out in the street, they have a point. A lot of innocent people are being killed on both sides.
So these protesters, this mob, once again, just a simple thing. Now, I know he's on his way out, but a simple thing with all these progressives, all these liberals like Biden. We're not talking about innocent both sides. They're not talking about that. They're talking about many of them support Hamas. Many of them are just stone-cold anti-Semites, haters of Israel. Even in the wake of October 7th, they're glad that it happened. That's what it's about. It's not about they have a point. What's the point that they have? All right, now the...
Do you think there's a point last night where they were going so over, like long over time, that they said, Joe, you know, go take a nap and we'll wake you up when it's your turn?
I think they may have said something to him. It's going to be a while. And then I think...
go grab a bite to eat. We'll call you when you're ready.
Whatever they were afraid he might say.
Buzzing vibrator thing.
He's afraid of whatever they would be doing to him so he wasn't go off the reservation here.
Would you be insulted if you were him?
Sure. I mean, it's 11:28. Yeah. They're supposed to be on at 10 o'clock. You got to cut these other people and tell them, shut up. And you go after them if you want to continue to talk. You want 30 seconds? Or you want to put me in charge as the MC. This never happens. You know that. You know it's going to happen there. No, we got to get to the...
Actually, have audio down.
Get him out! Get him out of here!
This is the president of the United States. That's what you have to do. All right, now we have this group, and before you dismiss it, it's kind of a clever strategy.
Hey, come on! Ram!
That's one of my favorite lines in the scene, in Godfather 2. David Brody. Who is one of the chief kind of mainstream slash evangelical correspondents, has a piece up today. Evangelicals for Harris use the false prophet Bible passage in a provocative new ad against Trump. What they're trying to do is this. They're trying to peel off, and you're going to see more of this, this incessant. Now, we've been through three election cycles saying this question. How in the world can you evangelicals vote for this man? Sometimes it's done heavy-handedly, where people are just trying to shame evangelicals, and that has not worked. And the first two times, he has Mike Pence as his go-to guy to reach out to evangelicals. And in 2020, Trump had the policies that worked, the Supreme Court justices, the fact that Roe v. Wade was sent back to the states, all that stuff to work. So what beef would evangelicals have? Well, the new tactic, and again, it's done by some of those never Trumpers that are evangelicals this time around. The new tactic, Brody says, is they're arguing that they want Christian voters to question what they believe is a Trump rhetoric that lacks Christian witness. Now, you notice they didn't say value, so I need to hear from evangelicals. Christian witness. And is fully void of the love thy neighbor biblical commandment. Now, couldn't evangelicals have been saying, look, I'm not saying this guy is in step with me religiously. And I get that. And I don't like it when he does this or when he does that. But I look at the other side. I look at the Democrat Party. I look at their celebration of abortion last night for a full hour that was taking so long so that Biden didn't get on.
Didn't they have a van outside or something?
Yeah, vasectomies and abortions parked just a block away. Look at their just unrelenting attack on the transgender issues. Look at where they are, gender-affirming care and all that. Look at, even more importantly, let's look at where this administration has been on the issue of religious freedom. Look at Mark Houck. Look, I'll never get over this. Rose said to me, well, wasn't that a while ago? It's still unresolved in Dom's mind, big time. In Richmond, going after traditional Catholics, they might be domestic terrorists. How much do you need to know that they are not staunch defenders of freedom of religion? If it's Christian, particularly, and if it's evangelical or Catholic traditional. Yeah, if you're a Dolan Catholic and all, I guess they'll give you a thumbs up. So Brody on this is talking about trying to peel off. Here's what he said, according to a big poll, Pew Research. Trump's base of white evangelical Protestant voters, 37% see him as a great president. 37% say he's been a good one. But here's the key, 9% considered him just average. 6% said he was a poor president. 10% said terrible. Total together, that's 25% of conservative evangelicals who are able potentially to be swung to vote against Trump or not to vote. That's what they're going after. So how many times have we been down this road when it comes to evangelicals? When it comes down to this, and this is a better tactic. They have better people. They're not trying to bludgeon them and say, you're not following the Bible. You're not following your faith. They're asking him to question, and there's a passage here about looking at false prophets, test the spirits to see if they are from God. Now, at times, Trump gets wound up and says stuff. Come on, you know, stop it already with the, you know, just don't do that. Okay. But is that, our evangelicals are not dumb. They're not thinking Trump. They find some of these people wound up at events. I don't think we have people listening to think Trump is a prophet. Do you? What's the evidence? No. They see that Trump is going to deliver on things that fit their worldview, big time things, or at least he's not going to attack them, as they know it's a binary choice. But again, it's smart. If you peel off a small percentage of these evangelical Christians, then in a close race, that's what it's about. Here's what Steve Kerr, coach of the Warriors, said last night.
I know very well that speaking out about politics these days comes with risks. I can see the shut up and whistle tweets being fired off as we speak. But I also knew as soon as I was asked that it was too important as an American citizen not to speak up in an election of this magnitude.
All right. And then he talked about the signature of Stephen Curry when he put you to sleep after hitting a three. Here's what he said when he was coaching one of the American teams about communist China when this was hot. Here's Kerr.
Actually, I don't. I mean, it's a really bizarre international story. And a lot of us don't know what to make of it. So it's something I'm reading about, and just like everybody is, but I'm not going to comment further.
Commie China, right? We can't talk about the threat to the world, Mr. Kerr, the absolute existential threat. Go look up Wuhan. Go look up COVID. Go look up the Uyghurs. Go look up what they're doing across the world. You can't comment on that. But you got to get involved in this election. And just like Stephen Curry, Trump is going to be put to sleep here. All right. This is the type of thing that is maddening. As a citizen, this is such a threat. I have to get involved in this election. It's about Trump. It's always about Trump. All right, 855-839-1210.
I isolated the most important portion of that clip if you want to hear it back.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was asked.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sounds like you said something else. And
oh, okay.
I agree that he was indeed.
Well, they were asking him about it. It was around the time that's a clear where I got the two cuts back to back from. It was clear it was when China was very much in the news. The NBA doesn't want to talk about that. Then shut up about Trump.
Yeah.
And he knows the consequences of it. But he tried being in China. You know the consequences speaking up about China, don't you? They're going to lose $1 billion. Now, that's real courage when people speak out about China. And there have been several that have done it. All Daryl Morey did was just say free Hong Kong, and the world almost ended. Tell that to Ennis Freedom about China and about worried about other dictators wanting to kill him, kidnap him, do that. And he can't even play in the NBA. They talk about Kaepernick being blackballed. Look, I don't think Ennis Freedom at this point might be a marginal backup center. But two or three years ago, he was a rebounder extraordinaire, and he was more than a backup center. He could have started on many teams. Why couldn't he play? They didn't want the headache of it. I get it. Yeah, why? China and others, they don't want to deal with them. Too much risk, too much money toward the NBA. Well, then shut up. We don't want to hear you on that. That's right. Shut up and whistle. I'm not even sure, Dan, somebody else should have written that for him. I don't know what shut up and whistle would be. That would mean if you're a referee. I mean, that was the Laura.
That's a great point. You're right.
Yeah, that was the Laura Trump book, which was Shut Up and Dribble. She got in trouble for that about LeBron James and others. You know, they have a right as a citizen. What did LeBron James, Charles Barkley, Steve Kerr, and others say about China?
I can see the shut up and whistle tweets being fired off as we speak.
It's a referee. Shut up and clipboard, you know.
Shut up and pace.
Yeah, shut up and yell at the refs. Yeah, shut up and yell at the refs. Yeah, that's what we want you to do. But now, if these people want to get into the arena, they're right. But if they want to use their platform, we say this all the time about the Hollywood people. Don't you have to be a little bit more informed? Here's Kerr essentially saying, and again, I think beyond this, the guy doesn't strike me as a guy who's not a decent guy. So how does a guy like this get into it? Well, some of the stuff is gun violence. Do we hear him talking about progressive policies that lead to that? Larry Krasner, whatever, he's in San Francisco area. No, it's guns. He just goes against guns. They just go on emotion. They throw themselves into the ring using that platform. And then if they get pushback, they said, boy, I realized, you know, as a citizen, look at this pushback. Let's talk about China then. Let's talk about this broadly. Who's worse? I don't know what Steve Kerr would say. I'm not going to answer that question is what he would say. I don't know enough about it. Xi, the communist Chinese dictator, or Trump? Hitler or Trump? My God, just endless. I find AOC to be entertaining, Dan. How about you?
Fascinating, yes.
And here's what is the accent? We need an accent expert in here. This is cut 16B. Here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with a new accent in the middle of her speech last night attacking Trump.
I, for one, am tired of hearing about how a two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day to lift working people out from under the boots of greed, trampling on our way of life.
Our way of life.
Yeah, that's the phony accent at the end, Dan. It was phony.
On our way of life.
It sounded like a much older woman, didn't it?
Or on like our way of life.
Usually she's got that riff. Remember when she did the thing with Bowman and all, jumping on the stage?
On our way of life.
What is the accent? That's not the Bronx.
Who did it better?
I don't feel no ways tired.
Well, I always love that one. She was imitating, you know, a black woman poet, I think, at least in that
way. I know she was
brutal. I know, it was brutal, though.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
I can't figure out the accent of AOC there, though. Can you?
I think it's like Bronx, is it? It's like Southern U.S. plus Bronx. It's very weird.
I think and at the end is something really creative out of nowhere.
On our way of life.
Yeah, the life part is, did she lose the accent and did something else there and she gets churning?
What's going on there?
On our way of life.
Life.
It sounds like a much older woman.
Did she get electrocuted?
Yes, shocked, yes.
On our way of life.
My God. All right. 855-839-1210. Want to hear throughout
feel
the show.
Feel no ways tired.
From evangelicals. Here we go again with a different angle. This is smarter, though. They're not using liberals per se here, and they're trying to pick off female evangelicals, apparently, in the suburbs. Who go, you know what? That's right. Trump isn't neighborly. Walls is? Is Walls a good Christian based upon some of the things this guy says? Is that
I'm too far.
I'll show I'm going to have to deal with this.
Sorry.
All right. Well, yeah, whenever you adopt the accent, man, you got to be very careful, particularly this
from
guy.
Where I started from.
And as she gets the crowd going, Hillary and that. Hillary got many standing ovations last night. She is much more of a competent figure than Kamala Harris. She knows it. They all know it there. But what the heck? Too late, Hillary. You're out, too. All right, let's go to Bob in South Jersey.
On my way of life.
That is quite a cut.
I can't get enough.
I can't get enough of that end.
Amazing.
The end. Yes, that's the key.
Did you hear her repeat the same sentence twice,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, we'll play that in a minute.
Oh,
hold on. Yeah, Bob's here. Hey, Bob, afternoon to you. What do you have today?
Good morning, Dom. Famous Irish American. I would pick Ed Sullivan.
All right, why Sullivan?
Well, he gave everybody a start in show business about sounds of Motown, sounds in the 60s,
yeah,
70s.
Yeah, he was the biggest thing out there. That's where you went, the Ed Sullivan show. So when you call in, you know, hit us with the name and then give us your argument. Yeah, Ed Sullivan's a good one. I don't know how long the show's been off, but that's still a long, long time. So,
revolutionary guy.
Yeah, 855-839-1210. You get in. Evangelicals, do you see them buying this? I think it's got the lingo down better than, so does Brody, that they are saying the phrase Christian witness, love thy neighbor, biblical commandment being violated repeatedly by Trump. Now, we've been through this before. We've been through it constantly with evangelicals. You know, nobody questions does the media ever question, well, how could you do this on the other side? No. It's always, how can you support this man if you are practicing Christian? Well, one argument is, look at the alternative. Yeah, well, wait a minute. This guy doesn't love thy neighbor. Does the Democratic Party love thy neighbor? Is that what they're preaching, Dan?
Evangelicals aren't going to buy this at all. I'm sorry. They're not going to buy that the Love Thy Neighbor Party is the Democrats when they realistically look around them and realize that the Democrats are the one pushing this divisiveness and, you know, the crap that we see. Trump's not up there saying, look at these people not wearing their hoods, marching in Charlottesville, making up lies to get people to hate one another. No, that's the Democrats. They're the ones that are not loving thy neighbors. They're the ones pushing this kind of divisiveness we're seeing in society. You go back to the Republican National Convention, it was unity. It was togetherness. You watched last night, it was, as you said, dark. It was horrible.
Yeah, Eric Trump coming up. I know he's got some things to say, too. He and Laura Trump watching it together. That first the hour in primetime before Biden came on was very dark. That's what they're going to do. They're unleashed. And then even some of the media is saying, God, where was the joy tonight? I think this was supposed to be joyful. What happened to our Walls? We'll bring that back. I'm going to have trouble watching the Wall speech. I'll watch it because we'll be talking about it. But I'm telling you, I despise this guy. I really just despise every aspect of him. The biggest thing, the stolen valor is one thing. You know, that's military people spitting on them with the stuff he's doing. But the China stuff is for real. Imagine this guy one heartbeat away from the presidency. Coming up, I'll tell you what. Now, this was 1991, so it wasn't like 1950. What he said about China in his classroom when it was being covered by local news media because of some of the things he was doing. They weren't covering it negatively. They were just reporting. What did Wall say about communism? And the media should simply be asking him, does he still believe that? All right. Hit us with that famous Irish person.
Do you like our way of life?
Our way of life.
You got to save that. The way of life there.
Listeners are going to hate me by the end of the show.
Was she just dabbling in all kinds of accents?
Someone said it sounds like she tried a Midwestern accent. It just failed horribly.
Yeah.
That was manual on youtube.com/@1210WPHD. Go like and subscribe, please.
All right. Let's hear when she repeated her sentence, too.
Yes. Let me get that queued up. And here that is.
Thank you, Chicago, for
I remember those two sentences.
For your vision.
Raucous applause.
Thank you.
Man.
Chicago, for your energy. Thank you, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, for your vision.
Wait.
What the heck? Yeah, how about a third time? Let them cheer and just keep on saying it. Yeah.
Glitch in the system.
Let's try it in a different accent, maybe, AOC. Lindsay Davis, she is the White House correspondent for ABC, I think.
Yeah.
Lindsay Davis. With the big Gretch, with Gretchen Whitmer. And listen to what she says about Trump in this. She is going to be the co-moderator along with David Muir.
Former President Donald Trump is expected to go campaign in Howard, Michigan tomorrow. Many people are aware that a month ago in Howell, KKK protesters marched in the streets with the white robes on and suggested that they support Donald Trump. I'm curious if you make anything about that connection and him going in particular to Howell tomorrow.
Oh, my God. So this is the other person in the debate. You know what? Do the getting rich thing. Store that up. Say, I'm going to answer that question. But let me just ask you a question. What the hell kind of nerve you have there at ABC that I have to deal with a KKK woman sitting here as one of the moderators of this? Just want the American people to know that. By the way, how's George Stephanopoulos tonight? Now I'll answer your question. You know, more people have to learn the Gingrich thing. Newt Gingrich has just a beautiful mind, but he, you know, he bothers people. I get it. But he's got that one tactic. He's able to do it. I'll answer that question. I'm going to get to that. But first, just a brief comment. You know.
How about Michael Strahan?
Yeah.
How about he hosted her?
Oh, yeah. So let's get Robin Roberts, who pretends to be completely unpartisan. When Obama got into trouble, she came out just jumping in there with an interview. Second time that he ran. It's endless. So I can imagine this woman as a moderator. Oh, my God. Nice dress you're wearing tonight. Nice pantsuit tonight. I don't like the red tie.
Like all their hosts, yes. Nobody can even throw out as like a realistic suggestion, and they're all terrible.
Yeah, from ABC. Yeah, they could have put Stephanopoulos in there. Michael Strahan would have been better.
And they still have listed on their bios on Disney, Dan Abrams.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joe in Bordentown. Hello, Joe. Good afternoon.
Hello, Dom. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hello. My answer to the side question would be, the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
Well, that is very prominent, fictional, but we think. Okay,
we'll put you down. Are we sure he's an American citizen?
Yes, that's right. We don't know if the leprechaun is Irish-American or not. We do know that Tim Walz is getting away with murder here. More than the stolen valor. We get it. The military, you do anything in that area, what the problem is. But the Washington Free Beacon has unearthed an article in the Nebraska Alliance Times Herald. Now, in this, they interviewed Walz, it seems to be in his classroom. And he told his students at that time that under communism, everyone shares and gets free food and housing from the government, according to this researched newspaper piece first reported by the Washington Free Beacon. Just 2 years before the article was published, Chinese Communist government massacred pro-democracy student protesters in Tiananmen Square. That Walz exposed students to what could be called a naive description of the Communist Chinese Party rule. He continued, it means that everyone is the same and everyone shares. He touted how people in China received free housing, paid no taxes in the late 1970s, and got 30 pounds of free food each week. All right? So, again, you can't ask the candidate every time an encyclopedic of everything they've ever said or done. We all get that, you know? But they've done that with J.D. Vance. You know, I've gone back and forth with him a bit. I think asking Walz why he would be telling, does he still hold that point of view about China today? I want to see Walz, and if I'm Vance, I'm not going so much on the stolen valor, although somewhat on that. I get that. the China stuff with this guy, because this guy crawls with getting away with this. And I think he will continue to say it, so much so that Representative Takano said this about walls yesterday.
Before we had the real black president, remember when Bill Clinton was supposedly the first black president? Well, Tim Walz is going to be the first Chinese vice president of our country.
Now, that's a reference to all his cozying up with the Chinese and going to China. And again, we're still, as a country, not focused like a laser to say anybody in any way, shape, or form. So what are we going to do with the Chinese? Well, what we should be doing is trying to withdraw as much of everything we buy and depend on from them. What we should be doing is sending clear signals. We're building up. We're alert. We know you're the enemy, not just of us. We know you're the enemy of the world.
Should we be banning TikTok?
Yes. Dan, yes. And we should be removing ourselves from TikTok for the obvious reason, the spying, the corrosion of what it does with kids. I don't care if Trump is on that side. You know, the worst form of Trump supporter are those. And when Trump says, not too much wrong with TikTok, what do you know, come on, what's the problem here?
I think I've done a pretty good job over the years of laying out how China is legitimately using TikTok as a device to ideologically subvert entire generations.
Yes, absolutely.
And yet we still continue to enable it. I don't get it.
Yeah, and in addition to that, just the sheer carnage with all the stunts and everything else that they're engaged in. And what do they show in China, the Chinese form of TikTok? They show their kids being driven. No, in other
community
words, they're showing them to do the, quote, right things when it comes to them. Look, China is hard. And maybe America doesn't want to hear it. And maybe America says,
Can I just make a point here? Like, you wonder how the hell a young generation has become pro-terrorist, pro-Hamas.
Right.
And you look at those kids with the purple hair that are out there marching, and they spend most of their day scrolling through what's fed to them on TikTok. And this is done by China to completely wreck Western civilization, pull us apart, and these kids are buying into it. They're being ideologically subverted. This is what's happening to these children and young people, and this is why we're seeing idiots out there marching and supporting terrorists, because you have the Chinese government essentially brainwashing them to do so.
And coming up as we head back to school, Dan, to that point, there's this media literacy, Jersey, mandatory media literacy. I have a great story today on who is it that is the arbiter of misinformation and disinformation? In other words, who is it all these teachers point kids to see critically what's true and what's not? But I wonder, to Dan's point, are they telling kids in school? And I know they're not, Dan. This would be the first thing. This group is called Newsacell, the media. They're in schools across the country. Are they telling them, hey, kids, don't watch TikTok? Oh, you can't say that.
No, it's the opposite. They're enabling it.
Yeah, I'm sure they might be saying there's some good thing. We can't do that. You know, all the usual things. The first thing in the media literacy thing they ought to be telling kids in Jersey schools, Pennsylvania too, is, hey, knock it off with TikTok. TikTok is the example of rot. Don't watch TikTok.
You wonder where sexual deviance comes from in 2024. Like, you wonder where this idea of kids coming from the suburbs to commit GTA-style violence and killing temple police officers. It all comes from this social media that's being fed to our younger generation from an adversary, foreign adversary. It's crazy that we have candidates out there who are actually enabling this and teaching us that, you know, this is good.
Well, that's first thing I'd be going after walls on. China. I'm not going Stolen Valor. I'm going after that. He can rope a dope a bit. He can go after Stolen Valor, too. It's China. You're fetish with China. What are you going to China for? He says, what, China, we have to get along with them. No, we don't. They're the enemy. I think the American people, sizable numbers, would say, yeah, they're the enemy, buddy. The time is up. Take the folksy act back to Minnesota.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.